could free you. There are a couple of basic principles. I know there are lots of new people here that have come over the past 3 weeks and 2 months, and we just praise the Lord we have you all. And as our pastors often say, we need to go over these things time and time again. And sometimes moving on, sometimes going back, so that you'll be able to move in. Of course, there's always a remedy for that, and that's the Bible promise. And perhaps you've heard of it. There's about 150,000 of them out in the world today, out in the United States that I know of, and I'm sure there are a lot more by now. But there are some things about this book which need to be brought out, and I'm going to use it for a springboard to get into a little deeper study on praise. Now, let it be understood that I'm not out to get any man. That it's not my intended purpose. I'm merely taking this for the sake of the doctrine that is in here. It could be any book. It could be the doctrine pulled out of the air. But it is something that the saints of God need to know. And there are some implications to it which are very subtle and very long-lasting, which I think people have missed. And they take it as its first it's broad overview as it first comes across them. And they think, well, I couldn't get caught by that. But I feel there are some subtle things here that need to be brought out, that we might not, as saints, get trapped. Because as soon as you go over the first hurdle in your Christian walk, there are many more things to go. And Satan comes right along, just as he came with the other angels up in terms of Job. He's right there. He walks to and fro about the earth, and he's been practicing for 6,000 years. First, I want to read you some quotes from this book, straight out of the book. And I want you to take these things and apply them to your heart, and that doctrine which you know to be true in your heart, apply this and see how this bears witness. God is controlling everything and working everything that happens out for good for those who love Him. And those of you who are here for the pastor's discussion of Romans 8:28 know that this is the King James interpretation, and I'll get into it later. Satan can't do a thing to us unless he first gets God's permission. Remember, God allowed Satan to test Job. The only time God gives him permission, that is Satan, is when God sees the tremendous potential in the thing through us and coming out of joy, pure joy. It is God sees that Satan working on us can cause us to come out, and therefore he gives Satan permission to go and do these things to allow us to come out on the side. On believing that if the chair collapses under me, it is his will. If the coffee is too hot, it is his will. So if you go out the door and I was like, you know, smash your thumb, well, that's God's will. Very essential. Jesus did not promise to change the circumstances around him, but he did promise great peace and pure joy to those who would learn to believe that God actually controls all things. I have come to believe that the prayer of praise is the highest form of communion with God, and one that always releases a great deal of power into our lives. Praising Him is not something we do because we feel good. Rather, it is an act of obedience. Often the prayer of praise is done in sheer, keep-gritting willpower. Yet when we persist in it, somehow the power of God is released into us and into the situation, first in a trickle, perhaps, but later in growing stream that finally floods and washes away those old hurts and scars. Thank God for every detail of your life and believe that He had permitted all of these things in order to bring you to the place where you are now. Wherever I went, I now shared what I discovered about the power of praise. I was beginning to learn that praise was not just a form of worship or prayer, but also a way of waging spiritual warfare. Looking only at the good side of every situation is often a dangerous way of trying to escape the reality of it. When we praise God and thank Him for our situations, not in spite of it, we are not trying to avoid our dilemmas. Rather, Jesus is showing us the way to overcome them. Notice He said, praise God for the situation. Dying to self is a progressive journey, and I have come to believe it is traveled only through praise. These are some of the quotes from this book, and I feel that, according to what I know about the Bible, some things don't line up here, and they need to be brought out. First of all, there's something that took place as I was reading this book, and have you ever caught somebody, and I just said right then, I feel this. Well, have you ever heard somebody who says, well, God, I feel that God told me this. Okay? And pastor them, and God undoubtedly, in situations, does move upon hearts and give people direction. But of course, that always lines up with the Word of God. Now, if you were talking to me, And you said, well, God told me to go down and buy a chocolate ice cream cone. And then, well, just yesterday, the Spirit led me to put on my blue blouse. And, of course, the Spirit told me that I wasn't supposed to witness to my mom until 2 months from now. Now, as soon as you get in a little bit of this, God told me this, God told that, God told this, you begin to move away from the Scripture. And this is what I know about. First, some of the words that he used, voice, thought, sensation, pop into my mind, a strong sensation, a sudden urge, a strong impression, I heard, an unusual feeling, the Holy Spirit tells me, I felt someone say, God speaking, the vision God said, I heard him say, the Spirit said, he said, so forth, so on. So it came down with 38 times throughout only 80 pages of the book where God spoke to him in different ways. And finally, as it got near the end of the book, God didn't even say it, God. All of a sudden there was just a conversation going on. God was saying, and he was doing this, you know. And there's near the end of the book, a 3-page conversation where he just talks to God, just like, you know, right here. And he said that he searched the Scriptures in terms of backing up his doctrine one time in the course of the book. Now, this gets to the point where if God said this, and God said this, and God said this, and God said this, and let's say it all lines up down here. But if we get down to point X down here, and I say that God said this, and that is my line of Scripture, and you've been going along just taking it all right in, then you get to this point, and God said, well, sure, God must have said that. Right? A couple examples here. On page 45 here, now, for those of you who know the teaching on marriage and divorce, it is not God's will that man and wife, once they have become one flesh, are parted. You can divorce man, and that's not God's will. However, in dealing with an individual here, he said, I just know how to get your problem solved. Let's kneel down and thank God that your wife wants a divorce. He didn't understand any better than Deuteronomy. Carefully, we went over the Scriptures together. There's one Scripture that God, all things were together for good. At last, he decided we might as well try it. We knelt and he prayed, turning the whole situation over to God and thanking him for allowing it to happen. And later he says, Lord, you really must know what is better for me, much more than I do. I know it must be of your will that I get this divorce. Thank you, Lord. Now I understand. And then, we get a little further, and he says, there's this one person in the very back of the book who says, this just doesn't make sense. Now, if God does, if something happens in my life, I just can't be praising God for it. I God can do that. It's my own fault. And the person says here, well, he says, others simply didn't understand and refused to try praising God for unpleasant things. It just doesn't make sense, they say. I'm not going to praise God for something I don't believe. He's got anything to do with. How can God have anything to do with my broken arm, my wrecked car, my husband's horrible temper? I'd be foolish to thank him for that. Amen. Okay, now he comes back and he says, of course it doesn't make sense. The question is does it work? It doesn't make much sense when Jesus said, leap for joy when you're hungry or poor or persecuted, yet he very definitely told us to do just that. So, there you go. That's how it works. And right then, he's taken walk. See, it doesn't make sense, but see, it works. And that's perhaps a little trap that we initially need to be made aware of. And of course, this is all, and the Scripture that he uses, don't make any sense. they're just, I fail to see. He uses John 17, Matthew 25, 21, Luke 6, 23, 1 Corinthians 12, 9, and 10, and Psalm 30, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, and 18, and Romans 8, 28. The only two there that really apply, directly are 1 Thessalonians and Romans 8, 28. So, what I'm gonna do is take the very Scriptures. I'm sure most of you have heard of this, doctrine, and I'll take the primary Scriptures, there's four of them that people generally go to in support of this doctrine. Four basic Scriptures. And if you recall what I just said about when and how and why. All the time, how, keep getting ready, willpower, regardless of how you feel, and praise him such an easy way to live. Okay, now the implications of this doctrine, and you may be wondering how you square with the doctrine, but just sort of set that on the shelf for a moment. The implications of this doctrine are, if you're unwilling, let's say that We are unwilling Christians, and we do not want to walk with God. We have not counted the cost, and we are not desiring to lay those things aside and so easily to set us in. We do not want to move with God and die to self. Well, if I just go out in the world and everything comes across my way, I just embrace God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay? What happens? Everything comes across my way. God gets the grace. Well, there's one problem here. Somebody gets off the hook. Yeah. Satan gets off the hook. Okay? Now, if you make no decision to die yourself, God will take care of everything. You'll continue living just as you were, and praise the Lord. If you know what eternal security is, just fits right in with it. And you just sort of go right down, whatever happens to come across your path, we're just going to praise the Lord for it. And God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In Revelation 12, we talk about now our salvation has come. You just don't get salvation and you sit on it. It's something that's a day-by-day walk. There's a decision process that takes place. And if I never have to make a decision for God, or make a decision for the other, if there's nothing there, number one, I wouldn't be a free will agent, you see. And everything, God's merely using Satan here, and I just sit back and let God mold me to perfection. Well, we know, just from the way that principles that we go by here in this body, that is not the way God works. Okay? Another thing is living by signs and voices. God never told us primarily to sit back and go to prayer and wait for God to come down, either a 60-foot angel or the small voice or this, that, the other. It is true that God does speak to us, and over time in prayer, you know how God confirms things to your heart and how He deals with you. You always find something in Scripture, and generally, it's a confirmation of something. If things have been going wrong, it's a prophecy. You have to take prophecy, you see, and lines up. God confirms it. It's not just a prophecy. And if I were to base my Christian walk entirely upon God said this, God said that, well, see, I was feeling really down, but then God told me I should just feel good. So I just, you know, vice versa. God told me I should go and do this. Now, how many of you know that that's not the way God works? That's not the way God works. Justifying the wrong translation of Scripture. Now, oftentimes, as what happens, there's a trend out in the world, paperback trend. 95 cents. Okay? They're stats. They're everywhere. Some are good, some are bad. That's everything. And even within singular books, there are some good things and there are some bad things. But we don't take whatever we read and swallow, except men via the Scripture. Okay? And even then, we need to take Scripture in from the equal principles. We just don't take it the way we get it and swallow. Now, if I take Romans 8:28 and I take a translation that says, all things work together for good. Right? And whatever happens to me, God will put in. That fits right in, doesn't it? Well, there's one thing wrong here. That doesn't quite line up with Scripture. No. As the pastor has dealt with before, and I'll deal with a little bit in a few moments, a more accurate translation of Romans 8:28. In the Greek it says, we have known, but that to the one loving the God, all things is working together with God into good. There's two sentences here. We have known, but that the one loving the God, those love God, with a drop in there, all things are working together, the God, in the good. Two sentences, God here and God here. Now, King James leaves out the second one. Rotherham says, we know further that unto them who love God, God causes all things to work together for good. God causes the things that come across the path to work for good. See the difference? Turn right around. Now, whatever comes across your path, God can work for good in that situation, but it's been opened up. Everything that comes across your path is not God's will. Okay? Not God's will. And to finish this off, the problem with a book, and not necessarily this one, but there's a lot of them, and people somehow, you know, human beings have a tendency to want to get things new. They want, you know, they go to the conventions, they go to this, that, and the other, and they see a book with a shiny cover on it or something, you know, and they always get the buck in the pocket, and sure, you know, if they want to buy these things, you know, power in prayer. Change your Christian thought. Move with God. Oh, I mean, just run down there you go. And one time not too long ago, as I just moved over, I got in the very same trap, where I thought, well, now, I know these books aren't all right, but what I'll do is I'll buy them, buy a whole bunch of them, and I'll read them all, and then by process of elimination, all sermon is good. Right? No. What happened was, I got a big stack of books that were primarily, off. See? And what happened, they sat there, and my Bible sat there. And I was waiting to get all these things. I want to know what's wrong. See, I take a book on they speak with tongues, you see, and I want to read the thing and find out what's wrong with it. But in the meantime, I wasn't spending time reiterating those scriptures that I did know, going into it, and reaffirming those things such that I became more versatile and being able to preach the gospel, being instant in season and out season. See, this is what happened. Well, this is the trend that's taking place today, and people begin to substitute these books for the Bible. And what it is, you think, well, I just don't have time. I'm a real busy person. And this man has obviously taken time to research this thing. He's gone through it. And it only makes sense, of course, that if he's researched it and he can go through it, and of course, I'll just take what he has to say because he's gone through and done it all. And, oh, there you go. One big swallow, and that's no guarantee. Just because someone writes a book, it doesn't make it right. Okay. Another little problem here. An indication is if it works, just do it, don't ask. Well, that's about the time you should be asking. See? Just because, somebody runs up down the aisle 6 times and they really get in glory cloud, well, they may have gotten in glory cloud, it's not how high they go before they are on the condemned, right? So, don't just let whatever works, and works in the body too, whatever's taking place, just because a certain thing happens to be going, in a certain direction, and it seems to be functional, it seems to be somewhat successful. And it doesn't mean that it's either God's perfect will in that situation, or it's God's will at all. See, I know families, I know people that are so caught up in flesh, and they're Christians, okay, that they, as far as they're concerned, it looks just like a real Christian walk, just going for God, and this, that, and the other. And if somebody gets thrown in your flesh all the time, and you're getting fed in a certain situation where your flesh is, it's going that way, it's very possible. It doesn't make it right. It looks good on the outside. Now, just because a man writes a book doesn't mean it's right. Just because he uses some scripture does not make all of it right. The Bible, do, and all this is right. How easy it is to put one scripture completely out of context at the very end, you see, and that way that can change the whole tenor. And this is why I'm bringing it to you. These things are all incited that you take this right to your heart now, and Acts 17:11, these are more noble than those in Thessalonica. They receive the word already in mind and search the scriptures daily, whether these things are so. And just because you see scriptures written down on a page and not Bible scholars around the day, and not the Bible scholars who are off the track, that's why I tell them. And how often do we actually sit down and say, well, that's what was said, now let's see how it lines up. See? To go the second step, to dig in, and start taking those scriptures and see it. When you went down, bang, scriptures, and I looked at scripture, and I'm like, what could that be? It makes absolutely no sense at all. There's no proof flow at all. Now, the key scriptures that deal with this, doctrine on praying, number one is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Can you turn to that? Says, rejoice evermore. The Greek says, always be you rejoicing. Verse 18 says, in everything be you giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay, verse 17 is, incessantly you be praying. Now, how many people pray 24 hours a day? No? Okay, but if this has been left out, does that mean in this scripture that we're supposed to rejoice evermore, all the time, continually? Every single moment we're supposed to be rejoicing. Okay? And I'd like for that individual who says that this is to be so, give me one scriptural example of a man of God or somebody that I know that praises the Lord continually 24 hours a day. It doesn't happen. So there's got to be something deeper here, something below us. Okay? What is it? Are we supposed to praise the Lord with our mouth all the time? No. What about the heart? What about the heart? This is where the answer lies. However, you notice the one thing I want to emphasize here is it doesn't just says rejoice. It doesn't say rejoice, circumstance. It doesn't say praise the Lord that my arm just got broken, right? So hermeneutical principle, we leave this just what it says. We don't take it anymore. We just say rejoice. evermore. That's all it says. Next scripture is Philippians 4:4. A little bit back. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Greek, be you rejoicing in, Greek is in, the Lord always. Again, I say, be you rejoicing. And you notice he doesn't say rejoice for this. He says rejoice in the Lord. Now, if I know anything about God, I can always praise God. I can always rejoice in God. He's saved. That has never changed. He's always willing to praise. The circumstances are something wrong. Okay? But he knows he says, rejoice in the Lord. There's nothing about circumstances here. Just rejoice in the Lord. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And he says, thanking always over all things in the name of the Lord of us Jesus Christ. Now here we go to context and see what it has to say. Now if you'll notice, here he's talking about redeeming the time, walking out of school, do not cross the Spirit. And speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. Now, he's not talking about circumstances again. What has he just got done saying? What has he just got done talking about? Hymns and psalms and spiritual things of God. Spiritual things of God. Giving thanks for all things unto God. Now, there is a catch here. I can give thanks for that which God brings to me, God's blessing. I can also give thanks to God's work in all things, right? But one thing has been left out again, that's circumstance. Okay, those are the four scriptures. One more. Romans 8:28. I already went into that. About the Greek and the King James. Your King James Bible says all things work together for good than others. But this is a more proper translation, as I'll show in a moment, would be to those that love him, God works good in all things. Okay, four scriptures. Now, Exodus 15:26 talks about and said, you need to get this down. And if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. 1 Peter 2:24 talks about by his stripes we were healed. God promises us health to obedient children as condition. Obedient children who love the Lord, God promises health. If you think that if God's will, you get sick, and this is every 2 weeks that God teaches you by perhaps giving you a cold or something, just to give you a nice little reminder. That doesn't line up with what Scripture has to say. God promises us health to obedient children. Promise God. Now, in Ezekiel 36, I'm not sure of that. Ezekiel 36. Verses 25 through 30. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I also give you, a new gift will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Emphasis here. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and will increase the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach from famine among you. There's another promise that will continue the description of God's promise of blessing upon his children. God promises blessing. Every good gift comes from above. See, we need to maintain the right perspective of what God has in store for His children. It is not God's plan that His children learn by the whip. Right? Now, there is a choice in this world. You see, if God promises this, then why would God have another little element, Satan, over here that He uses just to train us? Well, He doesn't, except as we choose. There's a decision. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. There is a decision the Christians want. Okay? And the relationship of Jesus to the devil. And Jesus would say that the devil and I are working partners, and if you don't smarten up, I'm going to stick him on you. Okay? No, he didn't. He said, hereafter I will not talk much to you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. God will have nothing to Satan is the antithesis of God. They're just this far apart. They do not work together, and the choice of what happens to you, see, is upon you. That's regret. Here's the decision. Now, what Jesus did. In 1 John 3:8, He said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Okay? Even more so, not only, 1 John 3:8, not only is it God's plan to bless us, give us health, but Jesus came to destroy him beyond that. The prince of this world is here. See, it is not God's will again. So how can we possibly say that certain things which take place to us in light, there's so many more scriptures than that, in light of what God has promised us and what Jesus has already done for us, the promise is already there, how can we possibly give Jesus the credit for some of the things that come across our path? Do people do it? Some people real obviously and some people a little more suddenly because they don't know what they're doing. Now, God has promised us in Luke 21:17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Go forth and so on, I won't go into that. But He's promised us, you know, that we're going to go through trials. God's blessing, Satan's here, and we're going to go through trials and tribulations because we're pilgrims here. This is where Satan has his stronghold. You see, but the strength of the Almighty God will be victorious over this. But we're only here for a season. But we know that these things are going to come upon us. Now, getting back to praise. I want to give you this balance so you can see that, understand, some things are God, other things are not, and there are the trials in the meantime. This is where people have the hang. What happens with praise in the trial? First of all, goes without saying, did men of God praise God in the moment of David? Oh, yes. No. David wept. Abraham was sorrowful and wept for Sarah, and time again, all the way down, Noah and so forth. You say, all men of God, and you take yourself. If it isn't, then we're all missing both. Right now, we should be, you see, once again, the attitude of the heart. John 11:35 says Jesus wept also. Did Paul violate that when he said, rejoice evermore? Couldn't be. Romans 12:15-16, Paul says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Proverbs 17:5 says, whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not go unpunished. Now, let's all turn to Ecclesiastes 3. I'll do this one. In Ecclesiastes 3, with particular emphasis on verses 1, 4, 5, and 7. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. There is a time for everything. Now we know that sometimes when God is moving across the body and the Spirit is just sweeping across the world and lifting us up in praise, that we can do nothing but praise Him. Other times, see, God has brought forth something very serious upon the body and our hearts are greedy, see. Other times, you're just out. You've ministered, you're at the end of your resources, essentially, and you just have to wait upon God. Sometimes you're all prayed out. You see, there's a time and a season for everything. I'm not bubbling forth with praise, it's just, you see, that's because there's a teaching. And this isn't the time for that. So, understand, there's a time for this, and there's a time for that, and a time for this, and God is the author. See, He's not the author of confusion, but order. And all things be done properly. So Scripture plainly shows that, contrary to what the initial meaning of rejoice evermore, rejoice all the time, and everything you thank all the time, it doesn't line up with fact, what happened with our own lives and what was bears witness with our heart. This is where I want to get. This is the essence of what I want to leave you today. The relationship of your heart to praise. This is the key. This is the key to when to praise, when not to praise. The whole key to a lot of different things. God say about your heart? What's He concerned about for your heart and praise? Matthew 22:37. They said, first great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Okay? Everything. That's the commandment. You shall love the Lord your God. Everything. Psalm 119:2. I'm going to kind of hurry on here so we can get to it right away. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Seek Him with the whole heart. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek Me and find Me when ye shall search for Me with your whole heart. This is the first one. The whole heart. That's where the key of praise is. What is happening in your heart? What's going on there? Now, there are countless scriptures where people have praise, they give praise, and songs over all the whole Bible, and we're admonished, we're exhorted to give praise all the time. But, what God is concerned about in our praise, and you'll see throughout the scriptures, that God is concerned about what's going on in here. What's going on in the heart? Now, let's see just precisely what God thinks about people, okay, who are praising Him with their heart and people who are praising Him with their mouth. Okay. Hebrews 13:15. Now you remember in the Old Testament when we had the lamb sacrifice, the type of Christ. And you know that Jesus came and the lamb sacrifice was no longer necessary. And God no longer wanted the smoke from these offerings. He wants something else. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Okay? Now, that offering, that incense that comes up, is praise, which is linked to our heart. Now, Isaiah 29:13. Okay? Isaiah 29:13. See what the Lord thinks of people who are not quite so full in their praise. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near with you with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Okay? They have removed their heart far from me. Something's happened here. Something's coming from here, but it's not coming from here. Okay? Then over to Psalm 78, verse 35 and 36. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue. Now, there's nothing preventing me from saying, praise God. And I know of an individual, I mentioned it before, there's an individual at the place where I work that I'm sure is unsaved, and he walks around all the time in his pious and says, mocking. He says, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother, because you know who all the Christians are. And he walks around just mocking. I just pray for his soul. And you've seen people like this. See? They walk around, well, maybe not in this particular sense, but you know people, and perhaps yourself, where sometimes it just sort of here, but it didn't really start down here. See? From the mouth. Psalms 138:11. Psalms 9:1. Psalms 9:1. Excuse me for going a little fast, but I have to get to a certain point. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Emphasis being upon, I will praise thee with my whole heart. My whole heart. And I hope it's becoming clear what God wants in praise. That's what I want. Isaiah 65, 1 through 5. Back the other side now. Go from side to side. Whole heart without the whole heart. What does God think about it? In Isaiah 65, it says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold to me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hand all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificed in gardens and burnt incense upon altars of bricks. He doesn't want that. And here they are. Which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Which they stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all day. And that is precisely what God thinks of praise that does not come from the heart. It's a smoke in his nose. It's just like a cheap word of his heart. It's like something made out. It's like someone can give their heart to the Lord and, prophesied of his history, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. And just move right on ahead over into Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Once again, that is where God is concerned. He's concerned about where that praise is coming from. Now, one good point, sometimes you think that, it all comes from the heart. Well, if everybody's praising from the heart, then everybody's doing the same thing. Okay? We'll see if we can put it on there. over to Ezra, which is how it goes back from the Psalm. Ezra chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, the temple was being rebuilt, these are the men who had seen the first temple, who had seen the first house on the foundation of this house laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. Now you know 2 verse 11, all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house was laid. Here all the people praised the Lord. And they wept. With a loud voice, and many shouted out in joy. There's somebody shouting out in joy. So that the people had not discerned the noise of the shout from the noise of weeping. So the people shouted a loud shout, and the noise was heard far off. And this is to say that people do not always praise the Lord in the same way. They don't always, see. Now, everybody is praising 120 years ago, and God is not losing my heart to pray 120 years ago, and down off the wall. Then, see, that's how God's moving my heart. This one. Now, we emphasize that God's concern that our praise is coming in the depth of our heart. In the depth, right now, we're close to God. The deepest part, the inner being, it just churns up until it gets to that point where you can't any longer hold back. That's the way I'm moving. That's death. Now, anybody can get in the way. What I want you to do now is not so much the obvious part, because if we've seen this doctrine, it's not critical and critical of everything that's going on. But it is possible that you can get into a trap, not recognize it, and fall into the same kind of thing when you go to water operation. And then I'll bring to you our apostle to examine yourself and see how you can do it for us when you make the praise. Because praise is the only part of worship, going forth to our soul, is that spiritual energy coming out of us. And if that praise is from the heart, blows out. Some things you watch for. Some things you just look at your heart and see it possibly satisfy you. Just because someone is praising does not mean they're praising. And everybody's gone on today to make their decisions for that 14 hallelujah and work their way up into a little friendship and call it your talk. Just because someone's praising does not mean that it's great. See? We can all go through the motions. Okay? Then consider created praise versus spontaneous praise. How do you know? Look at your heart. If I say, oh, it's just, let's you and I go over to the corner and let's just start praising the Lord. And you're down there weeping. God's just slain you. God's just done deep work in your heart. And you say, well, my heart isn't. Well, that's all right. That's all right. You see, we just praise the Lord. It says rejoice always, doesn't it? Doesn't it? See? No. See? There's the heart. See, my heart is different from this individual's heart. However, in a body situation, when people are moving such that they haven't looked at their heart, they're looking at everybody else, and so looking up, they begin to get their value from people around them. What happens is, certain people, we pick this person, pick that person, that person. Now they seem to have the move of God. Well, all of a sudden, person A stands up. Well, once God's will, we're going to praise him. See? So, there we are. Everybody else stands up, and here we go. We're all going to praise. Now, is it possible that God can be moving in a person's heart, but not everybody else's heart? It is possible, isn't it? See? That's entirely possible. That's entirely possible that one person could do it, and if everybody else isn't sensitive to their heart and not honest before God, they could all get led into the grave, and everybody could go right to the mountain. Possible, isn't it? It's possible. So it's called following the leader. Right? Now, I'm not pointing to anyone. This is just something. See? Do that. Okay? How about emotionalism? Now, women have a tendency, some men, see, just tend to be a little more emotional. And they pray as well, they just, sometimes, all people are real quiet. So, if somebody is real emotional, and that gets confused with their personality, well, you see, then I might think, well, if God's move right now, that we just really praise the Lord. Some people praise God, some people praise God. The heart. Okay? There's another thing about praising the Lord till you're out of breath. And it's happened here. Praise and praise and praise and praise and praise. And pastor mentioned, you know, when the Spirit draws, then we stop. Now, if somebody isn't sensitive, you see, then, well, maybe it's possible that, you know, we need to take that liberty in the Lord, knowing the move of God, and, you see, move of God in a situation. Now, I firmly know and believe that it is God's will that he has a purpose in every service. He has a purpose in the service that's just about to take place. And that includes a perfect purpose. Not plan B1, but plan A1. Okay? And if people continue to praise God, you see, some people stop, other people keep going. Here we are out here. God wanted to go here. Service wanted to go here. See? That's because people have not said, what about my heart? What about my heart? Don't hold up. See? Everybody else praise me. Well, on the heart. Okay? A couple more things here. And that is making common the praises of God. If you look at yourself and you say, how often somebody says, boy, I just had a wonderful dinner, praise God. Except, you know what God thinks about taking His name and His praises that should go only to Him and taking them and applying them to your everyday kind of situation. You see? You should ride around and take that and try and make it holy. Whereas a little compromise is taking place there. You see? Making common things to God. That word. Some people can't see that get off hallelujah. I see this now, let's get a balance here. Some people are just so drawn away in the Spirit, that's the only thing that comes to mind, right? But you need to look at your own heart and say, what's God doing in my heart? Somebody next to you has just got through praying in his prayer language for a half hour, you see? Everyone's tight. They thought, must be prayer language now. In English, okay, you see? That's not necessarily so. See, that God has full reign in the service, He'll move an individual heart. Because He's moving your heart, and you listen to Him. But the point is that we get our eyes off each other, and we begin to realize that it's from the heart, it has to come from the heart, and these little things can slip in. Okay, the last thing is, here, if one does not feel led, if you do not feel led, do you praise the Lord because everybody else is? Or do you sing because everybody else is? See? If everybody's praising the Lord, and you don't feel that way, are you supposed to start praising the Lord? Okay? I don't believe that. Scripture does not back that up. Now, there can be a problem. You can be in the bondage. You can have hindrance. But God never called you to be dishonest and start taking keep gritting phrases and just work it up until you finally work it out. Never did that. See? Understand that. Okay, just a last couple points here. There are many reasons to praise God and understand that God is always worthy of praise. Your salvation, because you've got the baptism of the Spirit all the time, you can always praise God. That's understood. He's always worthy of it. Okay? But this doctrine of praise the Lord has left out the requirement of the heart. If you recall back, it's left out the necessity of going to your heart. You praise the Lord regardless of the circumstance, all the time, just keep praising. Just keep pushing through. You'll finally get through. You'll finally bash. But, that's a stench in God's eyes when that happens. That's a stench. And woe to us if we, any one of us, get in a position where we are before the Lord and we are mouthing. See? That's how God moves. And true praise comes from the depths of the heart, which causes you to swell up. It just takes over your mind, just takes over your thoughts, brings you into captivity, just completely overwhelms you as you yield to it. See? You know what I'm talking about. It's this depth of praise. And the heart initiates it. It starts here. If you start from your mouth and try and go down, you never get there, except by the sovereign grace of God because of His, you know, His love for you, and it just happens to speak over you in the Spirit. See? That's trying to make it too. So I finally just challenge you, in the honesty of your own heart, to examine it. And take a look at yourself in terms of the body here and look at where you are in terms of praise, where your heart lies, and realize that it is not God's will that we praise the Lord all the time. It's not God's will that everybody do things at the same time. Often God will do that if he speaks across it. See, but God never said that you and you are supposed to match up. He'll lead people. See, do that kind of thing. But if you start watching other people and taking your praise according to that, see, that's where you're going to slip. So I challenge you to do that. Amen.